So what if there was a chapter in the Bible that said the sins of Gretchen, and it was a chapter dedicated for that, and today we're going to teach it? What if it was a chapter about you, about the sins in your life and the failures in your life? I mean, spelling them right out in detail. Would you run out the building? I might. Or crawl out, right? Well, Psalm 106 is much about that. Specifically about Israel, though. You can breathe a sigh of relief a little bit. It's not going to put anybody up here to flog them. But yet we can enter into this because these are our forefathers, foremothers. All the way back to Adam, we are connected with this sin. The sin nature, the symptoms of that sin nature are the expression of the sin. Adultery, idolatry, all the things that, the list that we're familiar with. Sometimes our focus is on the symptom, the sin symptom. And we can burn a lot of energy trying to fix the symptom when all it takes is a little bit of something applied to the right area, the right medicine to the right place to fix the issue. So you'll hear a lot of symptoms in this chapter as things rise to the surface, but you're going to see the root cause, the real sin issue, the nature of sin dwelling in the heart. It was mentioned about the heart several people on both sides of the church today. Mentioning about the heart, wanting that relationship with God, wanting the presence of God, wanting it to be more meaningful, wanting to know you're valued, want the expression of your heart to be heard and known to God. So we're going to look at the heart today. And in unveiling of that, there's a certain nakedness of man revealed. It's embarrassing, in other words. My father died a year ago, last month. And in cleaning out his stuff, there's things that you find that are less than stellar. And I quickly would hide these things, get them to the trash, and didn't want anybody to see them. I have had the same sin as my father. He's had a connection with that sin going all the way back to Adam. It's one line of embarrassing sin. The symptom is surfaced in many different ways, and we can attack that, and I can preach it up here with a red face. Don't do this. Don't do this. And we're just burning our wheels and spinning wheels and burning ourselves out in energy and trying to fix symptoms. We need a healed heart. Amen. We were asking for the Holy Spirit. And this particular song opens up uniquely, unique to any other psalms, with alleluia. The word alleluia, some of the words, you know some Hebrew words, and that is one of them. And it's said right there in Psalm 106, praise ye the Lord, the first phrase there is Allel and Yah. Hallelujah. It's hard to say, but our modern pronunciation of it is Alleluia. You're speaking in Hebrew terms there. Praise the Lord. This particular song, even though it reveals the painful nakedness of mankind, of sin, it's embarrassing. It is couched with the crust of the pie, which is God. Seals us around with this beautiful thing of Alleluia. Why can we say Alleluia, praise the Lord? Because He is a deliverer. Amen. It's not to leave you in a hopeless state and stand up here and tell you how bad the world is and how bad we are. We're going to be getting into that. That's not the purpose of today. So I want to remind everybody of that right now. The purpose of today is that there's a healer of the heart. And we don't have to live under this superficial life of sin and trying to find the depth of sin and where it's finally going to bring that satisfaction. I'm going to tell you, the bread that satisfies is from heaven. It's Jesus Christ. He truly satisfies. Jesus said, I am the true bread, bread true. This is the bread that really satisfies. The woman at the well, this is the living water, the real water, as they were dipping into the well, the physical water. I'm going to give you living water. You drink this water, it's going to overflow in your life. So we got up last Sunday. We left off around verse 13 there. Verse 12 was kind of a pinnacle point. They believed in his words and they sang his praise. It's one of those things that's a great event. And as everybody's praising God, and man, we're on the top of the mountain. In verse 13, it's like how quickly we can forget. Christy, God showed you something this week. Your value in him, don't forget it. The devil will have you forget it an hour later, 5 minutes later. James, not this James, the James of the scripture, describes it as this, that we look in a mirror, God tells us who we are, we turn around and just that quickly we forget who he told us. Why? Because we're starting to look at other reflections, what people are telling him, what the world says, what the commercial says I ought to be and ought to look like. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. Verse 13 brings out a couple of things here. In the issues of the heart, right off the bat here, we're given one of them, and that is the forgetfulness that we have. So you're invited over to the house today. We're having our celebration, our 11th year of being a church, Calvary Harvest. So we have our celebration during the fall harvest. If you don't have a harvest, just bring an empty plate. We'll fill it. Doesn't matter, but we're celebrating God's grace, period. It's not really celebrating anything other than that, that God, Jesus Christ died for us. We're the true harvest. It's not squash and tomatoes. We are the harvest. We are his bride. We are the harvest of the blood of Christ. So let's get together and celebrate that. In that celebration, it's kind of nice to have food, but the food that we're going to be talking about today is a little different. This is fudu. Fudu. Okay, this is the nasty kind of food. You want to avoid it. If you see a bowl of this, just keep walking by. Because you're going to see a bowl of it up on the hill up there. There's a bowl of fudu. Don't eat it. F-U-D-U is the acronym I'm going to be using today from the teaching. And the first one is that we forget. F, we forget. F-U-D-U. We forget. Right off there in verse 13. The second one, I'll give the list right now just so I don't forget. A lot of times I forget. I start out with something and don't finish it. The U is unthankful. D is discontent. That's also in this first verse. And the last U is unbelief. So we're forgetful, unthankful, discontent, and unbelief. These are the evil things that lurk in creepy places in your heart. And then they surface as sin that we're familiar with. Pornography, adultery, fornication, anger, lashing out, murder, lying, all of that stuff. All those are surface things that we can see and hear. But down deeper, there's unbelief going on. There's discontentment going on. There's unthankfulness going on and forgetfulness going on. All four of these are brought out in this particular psalm. So if you see fudu up on the hill, please walk by it. Don't try to eat it. Verse 13 again, they forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. So the second one here has to do with discontentment. And that breeds this impatience, this not desiring to wait or not able to wait. If I were to stand up here today and tell you that you need to be patient, you need to wait on the Lord. That's a commandment, and I want you to do it. You're not going to be able to do it. Being able to wait on the Lord and having patience is birth in a healthy heart of contentment.
Yeah.
It's birth in a healthy heart of contentment. So the issue is, an issue of the heart is with contentment. Then you're able to manifest waiting for the right time, for the blessings of God, for his direction and wisdom. Well, I tried Jesus. God gives us the Holy Spirit, which sheds abroad in our heart. It's like you got that thing that spreads the seeds out. It's like he's always in the heart, going up and down, with the seeds of God, the seeds of love. He's spreading, he's sowing in your heart love. God's working that in. God is very agriculturally inclined. He knows how to reap a harvest in your life. He knows how fruit can be born in your life. He gives us the Holy Spirit of God himself present in us, sowing in that wicked heart, sowing in that heart the seeds of love. It says that in Romans 5:5, that he sheds abroad in our heart the love of God. Broadcasting those seeds of love into our hearts, that they would bear forth fruit in our lives. They would become manifest. Waited not for his counsel, so being able to wait for that time, waiting for God's leading, all through the scripture, you see where people just didn't make it to that time. They didn't wait. You see it with the big folks in the Bible. You guys, some people are thinking of some examples now, right? Abraham and Sarah as an example, right? It's been a long time, and by the doctor saying that we can't even have children, so let's come up with plan B here to help God out. So it could sound even spiritual. All through the scripture, there's examples of that. And certainly, we're going to see that here with Israel today, building a golden calf as we move forward here. Verse 14 and 15. They lusted exceedingly. This is talking about the children of Israel. This is the time before Christ. God is grooming a nation to produce Christ, to bring forth that one Jew that would be the Savior of not only all the Jews, but the whole world. They lusted exceedingly in the wilderness. So in a sense, you can think of this as God's portfolio of his family on earth. This is the one that he claimed for his own, a special people for my own. And so if you think you've got trouble in the family and you think you've got a lot of things going on, join in with God here. There is a lot going on in his family. And there are times where God is like, I'm done. And you're going to see that in the song. I am so done. I am cooked. I am well done. I'm crispy on the edges. You'll hear that from God. And Moses is like, but God allowed that. Hey, look at this. When you see God doing, acting like that, what he is doing is he's showing you his holy courtroom. Any criminal that's ever been excused by our law has always been present before a judge. They got to go through the due process. And if a judge is to excuse or to release them or show grace, they still got to come to court. They still got to know what they did was wrong and who they hurt. So their presence there in the courtroom is what's happening here. You'll see that in this psalm. And Moses stepping in is that type of one that would do that interception, that stand in the gap, the grape. There's grapes up there today, if you want some. Oh my goodness. But they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. Lusted exceedingly, and he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. One of the things they desired was to have meat because they were just having manna, a type of bread, like a honey type bread, different descriptions of it, depending on who you talk to. But it was like a bread, it wasn't like meat. And so they wanted meat. And so this could have been what's being referred to here. God just abundantly poured upon them, but also this leanness, like you're not going to get satisfaction from that. Think of it this way. This body, your body, has certain desires and appetites. And what we can do is mistakenly think that something that is good is going to get better as we pursue that. Think of it this way. It's like a boat, a vessel that's on top of the water. And it's just gliding along the water like it's supposed to. It has a proper relationship with that water, gliding along the surface. In its sail is a great wind pushing it. That's a beautiful picture of a discipleship. As somebody that's a vessel that's gliding along physically, they realize that God has blessings in this life, food and family, all of that stuff. But those things are all superficial. They only have a certain depth to them. The wind in your sail is the Holy Spirit of God. His word, his truth, the presence of God in your life is the wind in your sail. Your vessel is skimming along this earth, and all of the things that are tangible and of creation are just superficial. What happens is we're on the boat and we're like, wow, this is pretty cool. This water is, and we start chipping at the boat. And we create these holes in the boat, and the boat starts to sink in. And men become lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And they start sinking into what they thought might be delicious and just continue pursuing the depth of it. And they find that they're sunk deeper into this thing, and it becomes an addiction. And it becomes ruler of their life, and they're submerged. And like, what happened? You've lost control in your life. The ship has become either semi-submerged or completely submerged and out of control. These things of life, the things that are of lust, we're talking about lust right now, they lusted exceedingly. The things that were meant, food and pleasure, relationships between a man and woman, were meant to be just skimming the surface. The vessel in our life is to skim the surface of those things. You're not to extract the depth of those as if that's going to bring you into great life. The thing that's going to bring life is the wind in the sail. Jesus described it. The Holy Spirit is like the wind. You can't see where it comes from. He compares that to the wind. That's what we're to put our sails up and catch. Yeah. Is to catch the wind of God. That's what's going to produce satisfaction. Look up to God. Look up to heaven. They lusted exceedingly in the wilderness. They're punching holes in their boat. And they're semi-submerged. Maybe some of them still have part of the deck above water, thinking they're doing okay. But they're not being efficiently moving forward. It starts slow, doesn't it? Maybe poking a little bit of a hole in the ship because he sees someone else doing that. A little bit of water gets in and you slow down a little bit. Get a little slower. The hole gets bigger. Then pretty soon the ship is going down. Notice the word leanness there. They exceedingly lusted. They're going for the depths of this thing. What can this produce? There's got to be more. This has got to be nirvana here. This has got to be the peak of life if I keep pursuing this thing. But there was leanness with it. God has given us a lesson here that there's leanness in these things if we try to bring out of them any more than what God designed and intended them to be. At the base of the ship, the captain of the ship, the leadership of what's happening here is forgetfulness, unthankfulness, discontentment, and unbelief. You're eating the wrong food. So the fig leaves are being unveiled today about a very difficult time. This is embarrassing. This is God's people, his family. This is embarrassing to me. I identify with the sins here in my own family. This is the fig leaves being removed. Our nakedness of mankind is being shown here. A lot of powerful things were happening for Israel. The sea was parted. There was a great inferno of fire that would lead them by night and a cloud by day. Yet they would forget. They envy Moses. We're moving into another issue that they struggled with. They envied Moses also in the camp and Aaron, two leaders. You mentioned two pastors today. Moses and Aaron, here were two leaders of Israel at this time. Also in the camp and Aaron, the saint of the Lord. The earth opened up and swallowed up Dathan. This is one of the rebellious and covered the company of Abiram. So there was rebellion against the leadership. Football isn't the favorite sport in America, or soccer, or basketball. It's rebellion. It's rebellion against authority. It's kicking back. It's not only popular, it's in vogue, it's fashionable. To put posts up that rail against the government, to rail against everybody, to rail against your teachers, to rail against your boss, to rail against everything. And here we see it's an issue of sin. The earth opened up, swallowed up these people. So again, in the courtroom of God, you see things being dealt with quite severely as well. A fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. Verse 19 moves us to another span of issue. If you thought that was bad enough, it just keeps getting worse. All driven, these are all symptoms, right? Driven by forgetfulness, discontentment. Psalm 106, 19 for 23 brings idolatry into the equation. Idolatry is a manifestation of a sin. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped a molten image. Thus they changed the glory, their glory, the glory that Christy was talking about, that God has made us to be beings that reflect Him. They changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eats grass. What do you want? That's really the choice before us. Do you want to be like an animal that eats grass? Or do you want something greater than that? Well, I tell you what, you've been designed for something so much far greater than eating grass and being a cow, and going around eating grass. But this is where idolatry is being brought in. This is the symptom of their forgetfulness. Verse 21 tells us that they forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. So the heart of the matter there is their forgetfulness. We forget. Wondrous works in the land of Ham and terrible things by the Red Sea. These are the awesome things that God had done. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. So the law speaks that they must die. There's the courtroom of God, what I was speaking of. Now Moses, who God has raised up to be the type of Christ, to intercede for the people. Terry was talking about intercessory prayer last night at the prayer meeting. Moses is a great intercessor for the people. They call him the flat-nosed preacher because he was always on his face. Oh my goodness, they're doing this again, on his face. Oh no, the golden calf on his face. God is saying, in the courtroom of God, let's just destroy him. If you go back to Numbers and read the story, God is like, Moses, I'll take you and I'll build a nation. I'm going to keep going forward with you. As for these people, that's it, they're done. And Moses goes into intercession, designed by God to be a type of Christ, to show us the picture of God's courtroom, that there is holiness, that he is a just God and a holy God. He doesn't wink at sin. These are real serious matters, and we need a Savior. Yes. Mm-hmm. Verse 24 through 31. Yes, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word. So I don't skim over the golden calf too fast and assume you guys know that story. Moses had gone up to the mountain. All the people heard the Ten Commandments. Now he was to go up to the mountain and receive them on stone. So they heard the word of God, but after 40 days of like, where's Moses? That's when they started to become impatient, discontentment. Where's this Moses? We're left without a God. So they started badgering on Aaron. We need a God to follow us. And he's trying to, all right, let's put a couple holes in the boat, sink it a little bit. We gotta keep control here. Let's start compromising. And he's trying to make it work by compromising with the people. That's why you need leadership. You need pastors that are willing to stand by the truth and not compromise. There will be pressure coming from the culture through the people to do this, that, and the other thing. And we need to stand strong. So don't be surprised if you hear that or see that. I'm standing in that place, leadership. In what Aaron might have thought would have been trivial, like, let's give these people an object to look at so they can worship, so they can shut up. Yeah. This golden calf, it just got worse. Mm-hmm. What became worship turned into a nakedness, literally, and indication of sexual things happening at that time. So that's where compromise goes. It's a little knock in a little hole. Let's just remove one of these things here. You know what? You know, and you hear, well, in the courtroom of God, we've got a holy God. He has not changed. And we need to be mindful of this. Don't make a little bit of a hole in the ship and then, you know, take on a little water and think, okay, let's keep cruising. You're not. You're going to be dragging down even further and further. All right, let's continue with the next one. Verse 24, right off the bat, tells us one of those deep heart issues. If you're circling things or highlighting things, you want to highlight believe not. That's the heart issue. That's the real sin right there. It's not the symptom of sin. Yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word. They believed not his word. That is the, man, that is the source of so much evil in this world. We stop believing in the word of God. And, the church is like, how are we going to fight this thing that's happening out in our culture? How are we going to go after this thing? And let's rally this and let's mount up the Calvary and go after this thing. And you know what the issue is the believing not. We're going to be bloody and all beaten and bruised. At the end of the day, no one is converted. We've got to go in there with the true word of God, the true arrows. We talked about the crossbow yesterday. Pick up your cross and follow him. Folks, it's not just a dead piece of wood. It's a living instrument. The word of God is powerful and alive. He's equipped us with a cross that is an instrument that we can be in prayer. We can be using the word of God in such a way to deliver power to these situations. Intercessory prayer is definitely one of those that was mentioned last night. Evangelism is another, going out physically, talking to people and telling them about Jesus Christ. We have a situation in our town that was just unveiled this week. An article in the paper in the Auburn Citizen where the superintendent said, I can't go into details, but I will tell you, it's of a sexual nature. The kids are involved in something in the school. I think there's adults behind it that would make you cry, that would make you cringe. This is the superintendent of our Port Byron schools. Calling the FBI this past week because it's so bad. He says, I realize it's pervasive in our culture. Kids do naughty things. This is way beyond that. There's something that's took a grip on our town here. And I am in fear and trembling right now as I speak because I need to be tuned in to what God has called me to do in this town. I'm planted in this town. And not to fight against the symptom, but to go at it with the arrow of the cross, which is the gospel of God, to shine the light of Christ into the darkness and to see what happened to me. This arrow, folks, because I'm going around when I'm sharing the gospel, guess what's in the back of mine? I've been struck with the gospel. I'm not just giving something here. Here's something that might work for you. No, this has struck me. Amen. The Bible describes it in Acts as it pricks the heart. It's the only thing that can get in there. Man, you can do all kinds of things on the surface. You can take a bubble bath. You can put on warm clothes and fuzzies. You can watch a Hallmark movie. It doesn't penetrate the heart. The gospel does. The gospel of God, that God would send his son. He would be that Moses in the courtroom of God. And I'm done with these people. They're all the Jesus coming down. That gospel, it hit me, and I walk around with that arrow. Struck in my heart, converting my heart. The Holy Spirit now making entrance into my life through this arrow. Now seeding the love of God in my heart. Say, Paul, go lay your life down for your wife. Paul, lay your life down for your friends. Paul, lay your life down for your school. There's a meeting tomorrow night at the school, a school board meeting. Pray that God would have the people there, including myself, to be ready for whatever God has. I am praying for the stadium. I am praying for an auditorium, for the gym. I am praying for opportunities. These are how I think in my head, but I am yielding to God. I am praying for opportunity for the light of Christ to come into a very dark situation in our community right now. They despise the pleasant land. They believe not his word, but murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord, verse 25. Stop listening to God. They got ears that were plugged up. Distracted ears. That's a symptom. Verse 24 and 25. You want to do a quick little Bible study there. Where sin resides is the believing not of verse 24. That's the bad food. You start believing not. You're eating the wrong food. And 25 is murmuring. We try to correct the murmuring. Stop complaining. Stop complaining. The issue is you stop believing. It's not how are you doing. It's how are you believing. Mm-hmm. I already know we were doing bad, right? That's obvious. How are you believing? They murmured in their tents. They're complaining. Is it? I mean, a tent is not very thick walls. But even if it was thick walls, I mean, God is hearing this. You get in this little, it's like a child that covers half their face. They're hiding and just their head is hiding and their body's sticking out and they think they're hiding. They're murmuring in their tents thinking God doesn't even hear. Complaining. Complaining is a symptom of a diseased heart. Allow the arrow to strike in, not into your head, not into your ear, not into your foot, into the heart. Know that God loves you. Loves you deeply, more than you've ever loved anybody, more than anything that man has created to demonstrate love. God has demonstrated by sending his son to die on the cross, to wear that crown of thorns, to take the lashes for you and me. He demonstrated love. How much the intensity that burns towards you to his created. He doesn't want you to sink down into lust. He doesn't want you to sink down into useless addiction and become a slave to the things of the world. Therefore, he lifted up his hand against them, in verse 26, to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their seed, that means their children, also among the nations, and to scatter them in the lands. They joined themselves also with, this is the false gods now. How can it go this far? How can it be that two ladies can get married in a New York State and applauds it, or you know, late-term abortion, and they're up there, the legislature, they're like cheering on for the rights of the woman. How can we get this far? How can it go that far? How can they join themselves to a false god and be so deceived? It starts out with believing not in the word of God. It starts out with discontentment, being unthankful for the provision of God. Forgetting God. One of our forefathers in this country, not a great Christian, but at least he recognized and he didn't forget what God did. His name was Benjamin Franklin. It was the Constitutional Congress, just 1780-something, and he's 80-something. And they're all arguing. They can't make one thing work. They're in Philadelphia, and they can't figure anything out. United States is going to be bust. And he stands up, 82 years old, I think, and says, Don't forget it was God that brought us here. It was God that has brought us to victory. It was God, and he called all the pastors from the city to come in, and let's pray before every meeting. Not a great Christian, but he at least knew. Yeah. He at least knew that's what needed to be done. Don't forget. I bought some primers 100 years before the Declaration of Independence. This was the main teaching instrument of our school system. The main instrument. 100 years from 1600 to 1776. Main teaching instrument. Then for 100 years after that, it was still involved and other things started coming in. There's some back there. Take one if you want. Browse through one if you want. I will resupply them as they're used. We can't forget. They joined themselves unto Balipor and ate the sacrifices of the dead. We're coming up to a celebration that's about the dead. Be careful with these things. We are in the world. It's all around us. You got ghosts and goblins going all around you and different things happening. Just don't be of the world. Don't become part of what they're doing. Stand out. Be different. If they're celebrating death, talk about death. Talk about Jesus dying. Talk about why there's death. Talk about sin. These influences of Halloween came from Spain. They came up from South America. That's why there's all these skulls and everything. It's all about getting connected with the dead, the predecessors that have gone before us, effacing between the living and the dead, all of that stuff, putting out food. To please the spirits and all that kind of thing. Be careful. It's not a joke. I did that, all that stuff, not standing up here and saying I've always been not of the world. Definitely participated in these things before. Had Ouija boards in the house, did seances, all of that stuff. I tell you what, there's two kingdoms on this earth. It's real clear. There isn't 17 kingdoms. There's not 2,000. There isn't a gray area. There's two kingdoms. There's a kingdom of darkness and a kingdom of light.
Yeah.
Make sure you're in the kingdom of light. You can spend all your day trying to figure out what this is, that. Go for the real thing, and then you'll know what the false is. Go for the real thing. That's how they train the bank tellers. They give them the real money, and they know what the counterfeit is. They don't give them 1,000 different pieces of counterfeit money. They would be confused, and you'd never get through the lesson. They give them one thing, the real thing. You don't know what everything is false. Stay with the light. Verse 29, they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and the plague broke in upon them. Listen to this dude. Verse 30, man, this gets me going. Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment, and so the plague stayed. This is the story about, they're about 38 years into their 40 years of wilderness. It's time to stop. I'm coming to a closure. I can't talk anymore. It's coming to that end of that sequence. They're in a place around Moab. This is the Balaam and Balak story. Because Balak couldn't curse Israel, remember the angel blocking it and the donkey was coming up? He was going to curse Israel and the donkey started talking to him because the donkey saw the angel. I mean, a lot of odd things happening there. So he chooses to do something else, to send in pornography, to send in the Moabitess women, to start seducing the men of Israel. Mm-hmm. Very effective. Very effective. You see it on the lines as you're checking out in every store you go to practically. You see the Moabitess woman right up there on the magazine covers. That stuff will destroy you. Oh, it's just a little bit of a hole in my ship. Man, you want your ship running good, right on top. God has created us to enjoy these things, but on the surface. The real wind is the Holy Spirit in your sail. During this time of the infusion of, it was out of control. It's like the situation we have here right now in Port Byron. It was out of control. Calling out for the FBI. The FBI, were they going to come in with the gospel?
No.
Maybe they'll put a few criminals away, and if they find out, praise God. I'm glad they're doing that. But what really needs to happen? The FBI is not the Savior on the cross. It's Jesus Christ. The church needs to rise up, start witnessing, start praying, interceding for the meetings that are going on and for people to rise up and have the boldness of God. One fellow firefighter, he took cancer because of his 911 effort, Steve McLeod, Undersheriff Steve McLeod. I told you about him about a month ago. He became a believer. But his famous saying, as a policeman, there would be a tremendous thing going on. And his boss would come tell him about it. And he said, one riot, one ranger. One riot, one ranger. And here it is, right here, Phinehas. Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment. We don't have time to go to that story in Numbers. But there they are. They're in a prayer meeting. They're like, what's going on? Our town's falling apart. The church is all together. And they're like, they're praying, actually. And they see this one dude come down, a Moabitess woman, go right into the tent of an Israelite person and to seduce them. So He's like, there it goes. It's happening again. Right in the middle of of Moses watching, and right in the middle of all the elders watching. Oh, it's going on. And then, wait, Shag, you know, the world's just going on. And Phinehas rises up, takes a javelin, goes right in the tent, whoom, right through the man and right through the woman. Come on, man, let's go for it. Let's take it down. We've got tons of these books. Folks, it's nothing about physical. The Old Covenant is all about physical. God's judgment, floods and fire, javelins. We've gotten something so much more powerful. Is the Word of God. So much more powerful. It's a joke to compare it to anything physical. The Word of God. How can I tell you that? Because it's stuck in my heart. It's transformed me from that life of sinking deeply in and being controlled by these things that I don't even want to talk about. It's a shame to speak of in front of my wife the things that of my previous years. The light of God in the face of Jesus Christ has caused me to not be able to just come out of the water, but to be able to sail. To be able to catch mighty wind and sail. To love my wife through the years. Where the contempt of the familiar comes and you stop appreciating. Where the flesh runs out and it's like you have no strength to love this person anymore. It's amazing. The power of the Holy Spirit. We're encouraged not to be drunk with wine. Nothing. Don't sink into that. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. Put your sail up today. Yes. If you've not been transformed or reborn, today is the day of your salvation. Today, right now, don't wait for tomorrow. Close your eyes. Let's just do time with God right now. In a special way, personal, one-to-one. This isn't about following some commandment from a preacher. Or being inspired for a few moments, looking in the mirror, forgetting who you are. God wants to implant himself in you right now. Christian, you've been filled, you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's time to get a fresh filling.
Amen.
That scripture says, be ye continually being filled. Keep your sail up, catch the wind of the Holy Spirit, the person of God. You're simply desiring the things of God. Is a great way to put up that sail. God, I want you more than anything on this earth. God, I want you more than anything of this earth. And by the way, he adds things that you need once you do that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Sails up. Jesus, I believe you died for me on the cross. Penetrate my heart with your gospel of love. I am a sinner, God. Lord Jesus Christ, I have tendencies that need to be crucified. Lord God, I want to die right now with you on the cross. Thank you for welcoming me with open arms to the cross. I die with you right now. All of me, all of my passions, everything being crucified. Would you raise me from the dead now, Lord God, and fill me with your Spirit. Pour upon me with your Spirit now, God. Fill me, Lord Jesus. I don't want to be an ox eating grass. That doesn't sound like fun. I want to be a child of God and everything that goes with it. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You seem to be inspired by the song, so we'll finish with that today. Amen.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire.
you're not 100% confident where you are in the kingdom, or if you're on the kingdom, don't leave today. Come on up, be prayed for. Let me assure you with a word of God. Let's pray together. But I'll be up here for that purpose. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Appreciation. I also want to show appreciation. The verse.
serving the Lord back there. Forgotten, sometimes the forgotten parts.
That's the hardest one.
Yeah. How you doing, Amy? Your father-in-law mentioned past appreciation, but I also want to appreciate Sunday school leader right now.
Yeah, thank you.
And I used to be one, so I remember that kind of get forgotten back there. The tendency is, you know, that people can forget, but certainly not. You're not forgotten. You appreciate it, everything that you do. We pray for you Saturday nights here as well. Remind you the very important job that you do. And it'd be okay if we get around you, just around you, you and your family, let them off at this time? Okay. You're welcome to join in. Growing up, our family used to, like, if there was a child that needed, or maybe a parent that needed a little love or attention and had discernment, so they would just lay on the floor and we'd get around them. And we'd literally massage into them that love. We'd be like rubbing their shoulder, rubbing their head, and just loving on them and letting them know that they are loved in a tangible way. Just surrounding them with the grace of God. And Lord, we are thankful for Amy and her work back then. We love how you called her to this calling, such an important one. Lord, we know, Lord, the struggle that goes with any calling for the gospel. Lord, that's real. And discouragement can come, and all kinds of things can come. So we come against that, and we pray for that infilling right now of your Spirit upon Amy. Pour out your Spirit. Cleanse, Lord Jesus Christ, her temple. We pray for her family, Lord God. We pray for her husband, her children, Lord God. Thank you for their participation with youth group. Amy driving all the way from Auburn to bring them. We appreciate them. We pray protection over them, Lord God. Encourage them in their growth and walk with them. Open doors for them, God, that no man can shut. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.